In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is Matthew 27, verses 27 to 31. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. A staple at state fairs and street carnivals is the caricature artist. If you don't have somewhere at home a picture of you or your family dressed in Old West garb, you may have a caricature. A caricature is a portrait that exaggerates a feature or features. Very often, caricatures, like at fairs or carnivals, are done for fun. But sometimes they can be used for an offensive and mocking purpose. I'm reminded of the room at the Lincoln Library in Springfield, Arizona, that has all of the caricatures that political cartoonists drew, not for fun, about our 16th president. This evening, we are going to see a caricature painted by the governor's Roman soldiers. It is a caricature of Jesus' kingship. And it's a caricature that is painted with the strokes of indignity rather than with brushes, as the Son of Man patiently endured it. This mockery of justice was quickly rolling toward its climax, Jesus' crucifixion. Pontius Pilate had released Barabbas. He had symbolically washed his hands of the whole thing. And the people said, "Fine, his blood will be on us and on our children." And then Pilate had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. This flogging took place in what was called the Praetorium. Originally, the word Praetorium was used for the tent of the Roman general or commander in the battlefield. But with common usage, it came to mean the place where any military or civil authority lived in a certain city. In Jerusalem, it was a residence of Pilate, called the Tower of Antonia. And here in the Praetorium, the Roman officers gathered together the whole company of soldiers that could have been as many as 600. A Roman company was 600 soldiers. So it was not one or two soldiers that are involved in what were in that caricature painted with the brush strokes of indignity rather than with a brush. And these men then, both as participants and as witnesses, began that caricature of Jesus' kingship. They stripped him of his own clothes and put on him a cheap scarlet red coat in mockery of a beautiful, rich scarlet coat that a king would wear. Instead of a golden diadem, they made and wove a crown of thorns. And the verb there doesn't mean they just set it on his head. It means that they pushed it down on his head so that the sharp spikes would dig into his skull. And instead of a royal scepter, they found a reed with the staff still on it, and they put that in his right hand. And from time to time, they would take that out of Jesus' hand, and they would keep hitting him over the head with that. And then they did hail him. They did get down on their knees before him. But it was only in caricature. It was only in mockery and derision that they cried out, "Hail, King of the Jews," as they had given Jesus this caricature of all of the things that a real king would have, signifying his office. Now, this mockery of Jesus' kingship fits right hand in hand with the mockery and the derision that we heard in our lesson for this evening, as the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin asked Jesus if he was the Christ, the Son of God. And when Jesus said, "I am," they accused Jesus of blasphemy. They began to mock his claim, to deride him of his claim. They too began to spit on him and strike him with their hands. So on the one hand, you have the leaders of God's church making a caricature and a mockery of Jesus' claim to the prophetic office as Savior. And then on the other hand, you have the Roman soldiers as representatives of the secular government that God established, making a caricature of Jesus' kingship. Before they led Jesus away to crucify him, they took this robe off of him. They took his mock staff away from him. They left the crown of thorns on him. And then they began to beat him mercilessly. These were battle-hardened soldiers. These were men who were used to the sight of blood and the sound of pain and misery, not only on the battlefield, but in the arena game. And for them, beating a man often to death, even before they had a chance to crucify him by nailing him to a cross, was for them really just a game. But Jesus would not die that way, as some prisoners often did, because the scripture had to be fulfilled. Jesus would be hung on the tree of the cross to overcome that sin that the devil had been brought into the world through a tree in the Garden of Eden, you know, as we confess in one of the prefaces in Lord's Supper during Lent. And Jesus' life would not be taken away from him by some Roman soldiers. Jesus would give up his life when he was ready, when he had fulfilled all of the scripture, when he had suffered all of the agony that he had to endure by his Father's hand to pay for our sins. While these soldiers painted this caricature of Jesus' kingship with the strokes of indignities rather than with brushes, the Son of Man patiently endured it all. Like Isaiah 53, here the pronouns tell the story. In Isaiah 53, the pronouns speak really of substitution. the third person pronouns referring to Jesus and the first person pronouns referring to us. As we said, all we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But the pronouns tell a little bit of a different story here. Here, the pronouns that refer to the soldiers speak of those doing the action, where the pronouns refer to Jesus as the one who passively endured it, who willingly endured it, who just stood there and took the punishment for our sins that was handed out and meted out through their whips under God's harsh judgment. One thing we never hear in the passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ is Jesus asking them to stop. We never hear Jesus asking them for mercy. They strip him. They put a crown of thorns on him. They spit on him. They beat him. They crucified him. And through all of that, those actions were being carried out by his enemies. They were patiently endured by the Son of Man. Jesus never fought back. We never hear Jesus asking his Father to curse them for what they were doing. We never hear Jesus ask God to send harm on those who were harming him, as we can almost certainly imagine that others who had gone through that would be doing, as they were being beaten, perhaps, to death. Jesus patiently endured their abuse as the Son of Man, as they caricatured his kingship in their coarse sense of humor and lust for gruesome entertainment. The 4th century church father, John Chrysostom, wrote these words that apply to our text and why Jesus had to endure suffering in all the different parts of his body. Chrysostom wrote these words: his entire body had to suffer the most dreadful pains. His head was wounded by a crown of thorns. His face endured spittle and smitings. His entire body was stripped, scourged, and arrayed in a robe of shame. His hands held the reed. Later, his tongue tasted vinegar and gall. Because sin dwells and is active in all our members, therefore Christ desired to suffer for our sins in all his members. Listen again to that last sentence. Christ desired to suffer for our sins in all his members. This is Jesus' passive obedience for us. This is Jesus suffering the pain and the suffering and the shame and the indignities that we deserve as our substitute, as the Son of Man. As you and I might sit patiently while a caricature artist makes a ridiculous, outlandish picture of us, so patiently endured the Son of Man as those Roman soldiers painted a ridiculous, outlandish picture in mockery and derision of who Jesus is. Jesus sat patiently while others made a mockery of his rule and his authority as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the caricature artist is all finished, can't see it while he's doing it, but when he's all finished, he takes it and he shows it to us and says, look, here it is. When the soldiers were all done beating Jesus nearly to death, and they took off these mocking and derisive signs, these ridiculous, outlandish caricatures of his kingship, Pontius Pilate brought him out once again before the crowd, and in Latin said, Ecce homo, behold the man. This evening, you and I behold the man. But we look beyond his bleeding flesh. We look beyond that caricature that those Roman soldiers painted with their indignities, and we see by faith who Jesus really is. My Lord, my God, my King, who rules my heart, and in whose kingdom I have hope and peace. Amen.